I'm Master at Life and Weight Loss Coach, Jillian Lama, and you're listening to the Body You Crave podcast, where you'll learn how to end emotional eating, lose excess weight, and feel amazing in your body. No cheating required. Keep listening, and I'll show you how.
Be careful, Jilly, my aunt warned. Don't stretch out those shorts. I just washed them. My cousin and I were playing dress up with her clothes, and at first, I didn't know what my aunt was talking about. My cousin and I were the same age and roughly the same size, weren't we? Was I really that much bigger than her? Was I fat? I looked down at the shorts I was wearing with hesitation. They seemed to fit, but this was the first time I remember comparing my body to another girl and feeling inadequate, like there must be something wrong or bad about me. I don't think my aunt meant anything malicious with her words. It was what I made those words mean. I must be fat. I picked up on subtle cues from my mom, aunt, and grandma about their weight or wanting to lose weight, and I definitely learned that being fat was bad. We moved to Ohio when I was 10, and my sister and I flew back to visit family in California 2 years later. "Oh my gosh, Jilly, I can't believe how skinny you are," my grandma swooned when picking us up from the airport. "I just can't believe it. You are so tall and skinny," she kept raving all throughout our lunch. But I didn't think I had changed at all. I was the exact same 10-year-old who left. My 12-year-old mind confirmed that this was proof. I must have been fat before. I was very athletic as a kid. I could run fast, faster than most boys, and I played soccer, also better than most boys. While I looked like most girls my age, I still found myself comparing my body to theirs all throughout middle and high school. I collected evidence for how I wasn't thin enough, pretty enough, or good enough. Does she have a flatter stomach, thinner thighs? I was constantly sizing up my, quote, competition. The worst part of it all was that I was a bully to my younger sister. I called her fat, told her she had a big butt, because secretly I was afraid those things were true about me. From the time I was 17 to 31, I told myself I just needed to low-carb harder and run more. Then I'd be thin enough. Then I'd be pretty enough. Then I'd be happy, loved, fulfilled. Sometimes it, quote, worked. Sometimes it didn't. Even though I had a fear of being fat from the time I was about 8, I never consciously dieted or tried to lose weight until I was 17. My parents started doing the Atkins diet the summer before senior year of high school, so I proceeded to join them. One night at youth group, I forgot I wasn't supposed to eat carbs until I popped a pita chip into my mouth. I nearly spit it out when I realized what I had done. Had no one been watching, I probably would have, but I chewed and swallowed, not wanting to make a scene. I didn't realize it at the time, but this is how obsessive dieting begins. You start off simply trying to stick with your diet, not wanting to break the rules. But it can turn into an unhealthy obsession with which foods are good, bad, evil, or toxic. Not only do we moralize food and then moralize ourselves based on what we eat, but it creates so much fear and anxiety around the bad or off-limits foods. More on this later. I don't know how much weight I lost that summer, but by the time I started my senior year of high school, I was under 100 pounds, which on my 5'3" frame was awfully low. I wasn't trying to look sickly. I just wanted a flat stomach and thighs that didn't touch. I just wanted to be skinny, pretty, and liked by the popular kids. Was that too much to ask? Some days I'd go out for a 2-mile run before school. Other days I'd get home from soccer practice and proceed to run 8 to 10 miles because I didn't get in enough running at practice. Sometimes the running was therapeutic, but most of the time, it was done out of fear or punishment. Fear that I'd gain the weight back and be unhappy and unpretty again, or punishment for what I ate the day before, often too many carbs or sweets. One winter night in particular, I got back from a 10-mile run around our little town. Instead of eating a real meal, I ate almost an entire half gallon of low-fat ice cream right out of the container. I wouldn't dare eat the full-fat ice cream, but low-fat made it better. I remember sitting at the table with my sister and her friends thinking, one more bite won't hurt. And then I hit the bottom of the container with my spoon and was horrified at how much I had just eaten. Not to mention the guilt and shame for ruining the 10-mile run I just had. I resigned myself to running more the next day. Despite my low carbing, you know, except for those half gallons of ice cream, and excessive running, I started gaining weight again that spring. I ran track every day after school, sometimes swam in the morning with my sister, but I found myself to be ravenously hungry throughout the day. A grilled chicken salad for lunch just wasn't cutting it anymore, and despite my best efforts, I gained 25 pounds in about 4 months. I saw a friend from cross country that summer in the rec center locker room, and she said, and I quote, Wow, you look thick. I'm sure she meant what she said as a compliment, but I was mortified. And more than anything, ashamed. How did I let myself get this way? Why wasn't I losing weight even though I was running 8 or 10 miles every single day? What I didn't realize at the time was that my body was compensating with increased hunger signals that kept me eating enormous portions and overeating at dinner to make up for the lack of calories and carbs I wasn't eating throughout the day. The summer before my senior year of college, my grandma, bless her heart, made the comment, "If I didn't know any better, I'd think you were pregnant." She went on to clarify that I was just small and petite, yet had this little belly that stuck out. I was very self-conscious of my stomach, and honestly, I'm still working on loving it to this day. And her comment only fueled the fire. My exact thought was, oh my gosh, I've got to run an extra 2 miles today. Hearing anyone tell you you look pregnant when you're not is depressing enough as it is, but when you're actively trying to lose weight, it feels even more soul-crushing. I went from 135 pounds to 117 within 3 months of returning to school for my senior year of college. But the most frustrating part was that I didn't know how. I lost the weight, but lived in constant fear of gaining it back. And of course, I never felt happy or satisfied with where I was. When I was 120, I wanted to be 117. When I was 117, I wanted to be 115. When I was 115, I wanted to be 112. It was this never-ending battle of never feeling good enough. For the next 8 years, my weight continued to fluctuate up and down, and my confidence and self-worth went with it. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter how closely you stick to your diet rules, whichever ones you try to follow. If you only try to hate yourself thin and punish yourself for your weight by taking away food or forcing yourself to exercise, you will never lose the weight and actually keep it off for life. The good news? If you're ready to break these old patterns that have held you hostage for years so that you can finally lose weight for good, I'll show you how. That was chapter one of the Body You Crave journal, which is just a small snippet of my story and my personal experience around food, weight loss, body image, and of course, body shame, what we're talking about today, because no one is immune to it. And we can look at other people and think, they have it all together, they look amazing, they have the perfect body, and yet they can still have their own self-conscious thoughts. They can still have their own body shame experiences. And the sad part is, we've all been there. We have all felt ashamed of our bodies. We have all been pointed at, laughed at, made fun of, teased. There has been something that has deteriorated our confidence and self-worth when it comes to our bodies. And as adults, most of our body shame comes from ourselves. Nobody is going around shaming my body right now. Most people are telling me actually how good I look. The body shame is my own. That's my voice. Those are my words. But it starts when we're kids. And this is important because when it comes to coaching and when I work with clients, a lot of it is looking at, okay, what's happening now? What's happened recently within the last couple of years even? But we're always focused on the future. And I would say that's one of the key differences between coaching and therapy is coaching is very much focused on the future, goal setting, where are you going? How are you going to get there? How are you going to better manage your thoughts and emotions to get you there? How do you manage your mindset that's going to help you move forward? How do you better manage your nervous system to be able to handle the fight or flight response that your body brings up? A lot of times, we're not digging into the past. But sometimes it is helpful from an awareness standpoint to look backwards. And when I look backwards, I could see and recognize that from a very young age, from about the time I was 8, maybe 9, I thought I was fat or I should look a different way. And I think that's important. Sometimes we're given a direct message of you're fat, you're not thin enough, you don't look right, something's wrong with you. And sometimes we're given a more subtle message or we pick up on something more subtle and it's more of, okay, how you look isn't bad, but if you looked like this over here, that would be better. And a lot of times it's what we're making it mean. So when my grandma praised my cousin for being tall and skinny and I didn't get praised for being tall and skinny, I started to make that mean something in my own head. I got praised for being fast, for scoring a goal, I got praised for other things, but I wasn't praised through the age of 10 for being tall and thin. And I look back at pictures and I was not fat. I was not chubby. I was thicker, a little bit bigger than my cousin was. We did have different body shapes, but I wasn't fat. I wasn't overweight. When my grandmother did praise me for being tall and thin, and she just couldn't believe it. In that moment, I was getting the praise that I wanted. I was getting the validation that I want. But instead of being like, oh, yay, I've arrived, it was, oh, I guess that means I was fat before. That was bad. I need to make sure I stay like this, or I keep looking like this, or I don't look like that again. Even from a young age, this is something that we need to be aware of and to recognize that a lot of our body shame is our own words, our own thoughts based off of what people said years or decades ago, or based off of what we made something mean years ago, right? So the example of my aunt, she didn't call me fat, but she made a comment and it's what I made it mean. I don't think it was anything malicious. Even when my grandmother said I looked pregnant, 22 years old, in college, she basically said, you look pregnant. She must have seen the look of sheer horror on my face, like my eyes probably got really wide and my face went white and there was probably panic written all over it, because she definitely tried to explain herself. And I don't think she meant anything really mean by it. She just didn't really think about the impacts. This is where we want to have a lot of love and a lot of compassion for those younger versions of ourselves. And maybe you were also the kid who got picked on or bullied for your weight. Maybe people did tease you or make fun of you to your face. Maybe there were direct things that were said or done to you. This is where we really have to give ourselves a lot of love and a lot of compassion and have a lot of forgiveness for ourselves and the people around us. Not that we want to say that what they did was okay. I think I'm going to do a podcast actually around forgiveness in the future, because forgiveness is not about validating and saying what they did is okay or it's no longer a problem. Forgiveness is saying, I'm no longer holding on to this and I'm no longer going to let this continue to rule my life and dictate what I do or don't do or how I think about myself. With body image and body shame, we can feel shame for even looking like this ideal standard. I think about my cousin who, in my mind, she's tall and thin and blonde and beautiful, and she had started doing modeling when we were in middle school and I think into high school, and I remember thinking, wow, she is the ideal. Like, she has the perfect body. I probably compared myself to her for years, and it wasn't until we were in our maybe 20s when she told me, oh, I always compared myself to you because you were normal and athletic and you weren't awkward and taller than all the boys. And when she felt so out of place, and when somebody said she was skinny, especially if it was like my grandma, who I'm pretty sure said it often as a compliment and because she was kind of jealous or wanting to look like that, but my cousin took it as something's wrong with me, or it was this awkward, embarrassed, I don't want people telling me I'm skinny. I don't like that. So she wanted to look like me, all the while I wanted to look like her, right? It's just kind of that normal thing versus learning to love myself. And I don't think I hated myself. I didn't hate my body, but there was often this comparison. There was often wanting to change it. And the changing part, I would say, started more in high school than anything, like late high school into college and then through my 20s. One of these aspects, though, is we need to recognize, though, that everybody can feel body shame. I have another friend who, she's petite, about my height, really thin. I think she has a great figure, but she will say things like, I have the figure of a 10-year-old boy. She might be thin, she might have a flat stomach, she might look good for some people, but in her mind, she's like, I have no curves, I don't have boobs, I don't have a butt, I don't look a certain way. And it's also important to see and to recognize that this started from a young age, and this can happen with our boys too. It's not until I had a son that I started to think about and recognize this, and I started to look at it and see it in men. But there's also ideal standards for what men should look like and what their composition should look like. So this is not a male-female distinction. I think I speak more about women and to women because I am a woman and I grew up with all girls. I had all sisters. I had all female cousins on my mom's side. I had all aunts. It's just been generations of girls. And so that's where I have the most experience. But it is important to see that, you know, not only do I want to be a good role model for my nieces, but I also want to be a good, strong role model for my nephew when it comes to body image and for my son and giving him encouragement. And we talk often about him getting big and strong. And he'll often ask, oh, do apple bars make me big and strong? Or do treats make me big and strong? We have this conversation around it. But I also want to make sure that he feels good about, like, he's going to grow and get bigger and he's going to be strong, but also not putting pressure on him of he has to look a certain way or he has to have a certain composition. I'm still always aware and kind of mindful of how he might be interpreting things. And also recognizing I can't fully control everything that goes on in his mind. As kids, we're trying to make sense of the world and we're often internalizing it because our world is very small. So a lot of times we do make it about us. It may not be even directed at us, but we make it about us. So now that we're adults and we are in control of our thoughts and in control of our emotions, this is one of the things where we first have to become aware of what am I thinking? What am I telling myself about my body? And am I letting my body hold me back from enjoying my life? And I think that's one of the biggest pieces is over the years talking with different people about how they feel awkward and uncomfortable going to the pool or going to the beach. They hide under a t-shirt and shorts, or they might wear a bathing suit, but then they're covering up with a towel, or there's a wrap or a cover-up or something. And it's about the self-consciousness, right? It's about the constant obsession with how you look and what you notice and what you think other people notice or are looking at versus how you feel in your body. And I would say a common thought that will hold people back is, I don't want them to see me like this. So if you've gained weight or if you're heavier than you were before, not wanting to go out with friends, not wanting to see family, not wanting to be around people that maybe you haven't seen in a few years. And this is important because we let our weight hold us back from doing the things we love, seeing the people we love, and ultimately living the life that we want to live. So we don't go to the party. We don't go to the barbecue. We don't go to that reunion. We don't go to the beach or the pool, or we don't go as often, or maybe we sit under the umbrella and sit in a t-shirt and shorts. Like, we don't have the confidence to wear a bathing suit that fits us and fits us well and that feels flattering, because you can still find some really cute one pieces. You can find some really cute different styles of bathing suits. You don't have to wear some skimpy bikini, right? It's all about, do you feel comfortable? And I have a variety of different bathing suits. And depending on my mood for that day, I will pick one. But I'm always thinking about, do I feel good in this suit? Mindset-wise, do I like myself in this suit? Do I feel comfortable and confident and fits me well? Is this going to have me feeling self-conscious? Or is it something that I feel really good in? And this is important with clothes, too. There can be people, and I've had people buy me clothes before or suggest I get something, and I'll put it on and I will feel very self-conscious and I will be like, I hate it. I really don't like it. To me, it highlights all my flaws, all the things that I don't like about my body, like it accentuates. And so there's a time when we want to wear the dress, wear the shorts, wear the clothes that might be a step outside of our comfort zone versus feeling so self-conscious and awkward and uncomfortable in what you're wearing and not having a good time, not enjoying yourself. So we need to find this balance. But I want to speak more to not letting your weight or your size right now impact what you allow yourself to do and say yes to this summer. And I know we're mid-July, summer's nearing its end. Some kids go back to school in early August, which I think is kind of ridiculous, but whatever. But sometime in the next month, kids are going back to school. We still want to be thinking about this from, are you letting your weight and your size and your shape hold you back? Are you using this as long as I can lose the weight, then I'll go? Are you RSVPing? Yes, but that's what you're thinking in the back of your mind. And this comes up around the holidays as well. This isn't just a summertime thing. This is an all the time thing. Do you look at photos of yourself and are you looking and nitpicking and tearing yourself down? Are you thinking, oh my gosh, I look terrible, or I look so fat, or how did anybody let me out of the house looking like that? Or are you looking at what you do like? It's learning how to like yourself, like your body now, as you're in the process of changing it. which feels like we get cognitive dissonance from this because it feels like two competing thoughts of like, okay, I'm in the process of changing it. It feels really hard to like what I have now if I'm trying to change it. And when we can reconcile that within our own minds, that's when we're going to see the progress. That's when we feel the momentum. But we have to be doing it from a place of commitment and self-love and compassion and really liking where we're at. This concept of, I don't want anyone to see me like this, I did this. After college, I went to DC for about a year, moved back to California for about a year, and then I left for Bangladesh. My parents were stationed there with the embassy, with the State Department, and so I decided I was going to move, and literally 2 weeks later, I was on a plane. It happened very quickly, but I knew that is where God wanted me, and I didn't know fully why. I was expecting to go into a job at the embassy. Many of you know, it turned into a bakery, and it was not working at the embassy right away. But I knew that that's what I needed to do. So it was a short turnaround. Now, I lived in the same town, literally like less than 10 minutes away from my best friend from high school. We'd been best friends for probably 5-6 years at this point. And I left without saying goodbye. I don't think I called her, and I did not see her in person. I didn't even say goodbye because I felt so much shame around my body and having gained weight over that previous year. And when I moved back from DC, I probably weighed 105, 107, but I was thin and on the too thin side. I've always had a fair amount of muscle in my legs, but my arms did not have a lot. And so by the time I was going to Bangladesh, I was probably 120 to 125 maybe. So I had gained 15 to 20 pounds. I was at a healthier weight. In fact, that's more of what I weigh now, and I feel really good in it. But composition-wise and just having gained the weight, I felt a lot of shame. And to me, it felt like a lot. Now, she wouldn't have noticed. She wouldn't have cared. We are not best friends because of the way that we look. We are best friends because of who we are on the inside and how we show up for one another and what we enjoy together. We will always be best friends. Doesn't matter where we're living around the country. It doesn't matter how frequently we talk on the phone or now we send Voxer messages. We are thick as thieves. Okay, she's always been my best friend. And that is one of the things that I've apologized for, but I also still look back and regret. I wish I would have said goodbye. I wish I would have gotten in person with her. But I had so much mind drama about food and my body. And it was this, oh, let me starve myself in the morning, in the day, and then I would end up overeating. And I just felt so uncomfortable. I don't know if I had a lot of clothes that fit really well, but that's not really the point here. The point was that I missed out on important life events, and I know that she was hurt in that process because I didn't say goodbye. I was so consumed and worried about what I was thinking and how I was feeling. And this happened in 2010. This was 14 years ago. For a long time, I struggled with getting into photos. I struggled with liking photos of myself. I struggled with being on vacation and not needing to still stick to this stupid, rigid diet to be on vacation and not need to go for a 5 or 6 mile run. It's one of those things that I feel bad about now. And even to this day, I still like to move and exercise while on vacation. And I try to make it fit within what's happening in the day. But I do feel better. I feel better in my body. I have more energy. Even on a day like today where I'm working, I know that I feel better when I exercise in the morning. My lower back feels much better if I'm moving my body, like walking, exercising. So it's definitely still finding this balance between being able to take a day off, being able to take some time off and feel like okay with what I'm doing and also knowing what tends to have me feeling better. And it's a process. But this is something that we want to be thinking about. Because if you are thinking, well, I don't want them to see me like this. It's your thoughts. It's your judgment. It's your fear about what they're going to think about you. And at the end of the day, people are not your friend because of the way you look. They're not your friend because you're a certain size, shape, or weight. It's you avoiding them so that you can avoid feeling shame. But you already feel the shame. It's already there. It's already in your mind. You're just trying to avoid what you think is the circumstance that will have you feeling the shame. But you're already living with it. So this is what we need to work on. Changing our body image, how we think about ourselves, changing how we show up in the world, not letting past things hold us back, and choosing to rewrite the story, and choosing the types of people that we want in our lives, if they're going to say shitty things about you and your body or your weight, maybe they're not good friends. Maybe it's time to cut them out. And as adults, that can feel really hard because you likely have a lot of history with them. You've been friends for years. Maybe your spouses are friends. Maybe your kids are friends and they ride bikes together in the neighborhood. Maybe you grew up with them. It can feel hard. You've had so many great experiences. There were so many good times with them too. But being able to recognize the types of people that you want in your life is really important. You are no longer a kid who is friends with just whoever's in your class at school. You get to be friends with the people that truly align with your views and your values and what you want in life. And for most of us, our friends, our family, they're not going to be ones that we cut out because they're not going to be ones making rude comments. And if they are, then that's when we set some boundaries. That's when we decide how we are going to show up based on what they say or they do. So it's not, you can't talk to me that way. It's, this is not acceptable. I'm going to leave the room. That's what I am going to do based on how other people are choosing to show up. I'll do a whole podcast on like relationship things. And well, there'll be probably several months of episodes, but boundaries will be one of the topics because I think this is something that people get mixed up. Boundaries often are people trying to control others and say, well, this is my boundary. You now need to do this, or you now can't do that. That is my boundary. That's not how boundaries work. That's control. A boundary is you can show up however you want, and here's how I'm going to respond. Here's how I am going to show up based on that. It's not controlling the other person. Anyways, totally side tangent, but we need to just be really honest with ourselves about what we're thinking, and then we need to work on changing those thoughts. We need to work on better self-talk, liking ourselves now, liking our bodies now, and being in the process to change it. So do you have a process that works? Do you have a process right now? Because I guarantee most people listening, most people who follow me, don't have a process that works for them when it comes to weight loss, when it comes to ending emotional eating. And that's okay. That's where I come in, is to help give you a process that works. We just have to first accept and stop being in denial, stop telling ourselves that what we are doing is working. Or if you could just have enough willpower to do what you did a couple years ago, then it would work. That doesn't work for you right now. And to be fair, that never worked because you gained the weight back. It works when you lose the weight and you don't gain it back. If you would like some help with that, to really feel in control around food, to feel at peace and at ease when you're going into gatherings with friends or family or to the pool or to the beach, when you want to learn to like your body and like yourself now as you're in the process of changing and growing and becoming a new you, then I can help. You can schedule a free consultation at www.bodyyoucrave.com/schedule. And we'll spend some time really digging into what is actually getting in your way. What are the obstacles? What are the challenges from where you are now to where you want to be in the next 6 to 12 months? And I guarantee we got to work on your thoughts about food and what food is good, bad, evil. We've got to work on thoughts about your body. We've got to change that internal narrative and that internal dialogue, because that is where most of the shame is coming from these days. Can you learn to let it go? It's going to feel a little hard because you've been thinking this and talking to yourself like this for years, if not decades. It's been a very long time. These are very ingrained grooves of how you think and look at yourself. But I can help you change this. All right. Have a fabulous day. I'll talk to you next week. Here's to creating the life and body you crave.
If you like this episode, then you'll love my free virtual workshop, 5 Keys to End Emotional Eating and Lose Excess Weight for Life. You'll learn the counterintuitive reason why all your attempts to restrict food over the years has actually led to weight gain, and the mental switch you need to flick that'll have you dropping pounds without sacrificing wine, carbs, or the food you love. Get all the details at bodyyoucrave.com.